still suffers. At this time, I would like to introduce Heidi S. from Fresno as our first speaker. Whoops, looks like I just bought that.
No, I'm good. My name is Heidi and I'm an addict. Thank you for asking. I got to set my timer because I could talk a lot. I've been doing this in meetings lately too because, you know, I think I'm really important sometimes. And anyways, yeah. I went to yoga this morning because that's how I, in the last year and a half, have learned how to kind of quiet my mind, you know, and the kind of appropriate thing is I'm on the 11th step again, and like, this is the first time that I've ever been to a point where the meditation thing is actually working for me. Any other attempts are like, okay, yeah, meditation, that means fall asleep, right? That means take a nap. So that's kind of where I've been, you know, and it couldn't have come at a better time in my life, you know. My clean date is 3/18/93, and thank you. Thanks to you. Thanks to you. Because I couldn't have done this without you. And I think when I tell my story, like, that'll make a lot more sense, besides just the regular drug addict stuff. You know, I did all those things that we do, and I did some of those in here, too. And I came in the first time in 1991, and I was doing everything, hanging out, you know, going to coffee, right, all that. But, like, I was leaving my kid with my mom and not taking care of him and, you know, all that stuff, too. The same thing I did when I was using. So there wasn't much change from when I first got here to what I was doing when I was using. And so I did relapse, and so my journey began again in 1993. And one of the things that I did is I changed everything, like all the people I hung out with, sponsors, you know, the whole thing, because I knew there was something flawed in what I was doing before that, so I knew I needed to change something, you know, and you guys tell us, and we tell you, and that it's everything. That's what has to change, you know, and that was the case for me. So, you know, I have not, like, the only thing that I've done perfect in this program is not picked up, like, absolutely. I've been in terrible relationships. I've hurt people. I've been hurt. You know, all that stuff, blamed other people, you know, still, you know, typical dope fiend behaviors, blame somebody else. Been there, done that. And, you know, at about 15 years clean for me, everything changed. I finally, like, you guys had been telling me for a long time that I needed to step back and take a look at my relationship, like, inventory. And because it was pretty scary, and basically it was nonstop. You know, it was like one running relationship, but the faces changed like every time. And finally, at about 15 years clean, you know, I had a breakup. That the guy wasn't even like I wasn't planning on marrying him like at all. But it was the one that stopped me in my tracks. You know, it brought me to my knees And it doesn't matter how you get to surrender, that's just where I got. You know, it doesn't matter how or who, it just, that's where I was, as I finally landed in surrender to the fact that what you had been telling me all these years was I had to stop ignoring you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you can, and that's the other thing I need to say is that I was working the steps, but I'd work the steps around relationships because no. We're not, I'm good. I don't have a problem. Right? And, you know, so finally at 15 years clean, I was willing and ready to accept that I had a problem and actually do something about it, you know. And it's kind of, you know, I don't know what to say about that. It, you know, it is what it is. It's my journey. And again, the only thing I've done perfect is not picked up. And so I started another set of steps at that time. And it was kind of cool because I got to see like growth in myself, like in, you know, because I had been sponsoring people, worked the steps many. So when I'm doing another inventory, like it took me like a whole day to write a new inventory on just relationships. And by the end of that, you know, just like when I'm going through a step with somebody, I got a list going. Well, I already had my list of character defects going. I had everything ready for my sponsor. It was like, here you go. Here's how fucked up I am. Right. And like I had my whole pattern of relationships down and that was pretty sick and twisted, but it was like typical. And if I applied that to every single relationship I had been in from before getting clean, like it was the same. And I needed to stop. Like that was one of the first things that I needed to stop, was that pattern of behavior, you know? And really, if you're new, you know, welcome. The steps are not an instant cure. Like it's not like you're going to put something in and, you know, it's not like a slot machine and then ba-bam, you know, you get something out. It's like a long, for me, it was a long-term process and they worked as they worked and it was slow but it was worth it, you know, because I got there without getting loaded. I didn't have to get loaded over a dude no more, you know, So then I did like dating, which I never had done before. I guess I called it dating, but that just meant I was sleeping with whoever, like all the time, you know? And so I actually did like dating, and like those would last like 3-4 months. And like, as soon as I saw like this wasn't going to work, I would like end it. When normally, like as soon as I saw it wasn't going to work, it'd be like, cool. Apparently we need to have a baby then, or we probably need to get married, or let's move in together. You know what I mean? Like that's when I would do the stupid stuff, is as soon as I saw that it wasn't going to work, I can fix it. Let's fix it. And it doesn't fix it. It didn't fix it. And so I would like not, you know, I would just say, hey, you know, and a couple of them I'm still friends with to this day. And, you know, one of them hates me, but whatever. That's his issue, not mine. and unfortunately, almost everybody that I was in a relationship with is still clean as well. I mean, I shouldn't say unfortunately. Unfortunately for me, in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in Fresno. But today I'm a grown up and I can deal with my past and it can be sitting across from me and it's okay. You know, because I made my amends, you know, I'm still waiting, but anyways. I was just thinking about that yesterday. I'm never gonna get that shit. Anyways, I've made my amends, you know, and so I can be okay with me today, you know. And that's what it's really been about. This whole thing with relationships is being okay with me, you know, and that's what this whole journey has been about, is being okay with me and who I am without having to use and mask it and put something on it, you know, and be somebody who I'm not, you know. And it's amazing how many times in this journey that I would step back and see myself and go, that's not who you are. That's really not who you are, you know. It is what it is, you know. That's one of my favorite sayings, but I also hate it with a passion. So 5 years ago, you know, I met my now husband, and we were friends for a while, and then we started talking, like, you know, boy-girl talking. And then it just, like, everything just clicked from there, you know? And it's so funny because, like, my hairdresser's in the program, and, like, she's like, yeah, you and Bob are, like, perfect for each other. Like, you know, because, like, we are, you know, we respect each other's boundaries. We respect each other's individuality. We respect that part of ourselves that needs to, like, be left alone, Like, I don't have to. I've been in relationships where I couldn't even go read for 20 minutes because, you know, somebody wasn't getting their fair amount of attention, you know, and it's like, come on, you know, I have to shut down. I really do. I'm a shut downer, and I have to be able to turn people off, man, or I'm not, or you don't want to be around me, you know, and I don't want to be around me when I'm like that. So, you know, I'm in a really good I'm in a healthy relationship today, you know, and so 5 years, you know, I did a year and a half celibate, which I thought I was going to die if I ever did that. And I actually did that. And then I did 5 years of like not committing to any kind of like long-term relationship, you know, just dating or whatever until Bob and I met, you know, and then it's been on ever since. and I love him, you know. And I'm grateful that that part of me was able to get fixed. You know, and the funny thing is I remember Jackie A, and she's our oldest old timer in our area. And, she told me when she had about 20 years clean, she goes, I'd like to think that, you know, by you watching me, that you'll figure this shit out a lot earlier than 20 years clean. I'm like, well, okay, 5 years earlier. You know, so the beautiful thing is there were some old timers there that, you know, in my area that were there for me when I first got there and still to this day that showed me like I didn't have to be a perfect person, you know, and that some of them were still really sick. And not that I wanted to follow in their footsteps per se, but I could make different mistakes, you know, and some of them I made were the same. And you know, I'm still that hard-headed person that, you know, sometimes I just want to make my own mistakes and whatever. I'll show you how to do it right. You know, I've got that on my head. But, you know, my son was born when I was using, and he was born in 1990, and you know, in the beginning, like I said, when his father and I split up, I just would go out and party and go home and take minimal care of him because I moved back in with my parents when we split up, and so I had mom there to help, and mom's a good codependent and enabler and all those things. And when I relapsed, like, they kicked me out, and, well, I took off first. I ended up in Nashville, Tennessee. Don't ask. Anyways, I ended up in Nashville, Tennessee and left my son with my mom. So when I came back from my relapse and moved in with somebody from the program and her family, my mom told me, just leave your kid here and get your shit together, basically. And I did. And so when he was almost to kindergarten is when I decided that I needed to, like, be a mom and, like, take responsibility for something that I did and be a mom. And I did that, you know, and it was challenging because, like, we would cry ourselves to sleep at night. Like, I would read him a story, and that was good. And then it was like, I want grandma. I hate you. You know, and that was like for a long time. It felt like forever. But, you know, eventually that worked itself out. And, you know, my son was a different kind of a kid. And, like, we always knew he was different. One of my friends called him the Unabomber. It's probably not really funny, but I'm kind of twisted. But anyways, I thought it was hilarious, right? Because I'm like, yeah, I could see that. I didn't see that. And, you know, he was just a different kid, you know? And so, like, one of his milestones in life when he graduated from high school, like, I could see on his face, like, that he knew his whole life was, like, changing. You know, he didn't graduate. He was 19 when he graduated because he got held back in kindergarten. And, you know, that was a struggle. I'm like, what do you mean my kid failed kindergarten? You know, like he's not stupid. You know, that was my thinking, especially back then, you know, because it was like 1995. I had like 2 years clean. So everything you did was an affront to me because my kid's not stupid, don't you know? You know, and she, oh, no, he's not stupid. He's just immature. I'm like, okay. You know, and sadly for us is, you know, my son got, we were able to put him in a private school. And I say sadly because they, you know, they missed like a big chunk of who he was. And what it turned out is he was autistic and he didn't get diagnosed until he was in college. and he was 20 years old, and he got diagnosed autistic, and everything like fell into place. It was like, oh, okay. You know, so we had to back off classes because he was failing. You know, at first I'm like, what are you doing? Are you getting loaded? You know what I mean? Like, because that's what I was doing when I was flushing my dad's money down the toilet for books, right? And so we had to back him off of college because he just couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the change that was going on. And, you know, he was very high functioning. He was smart. Anyways, so he finally stopped going to college altogether, and I just started to see things. You know, depression and drug addict like runs in my both sides of my family. You know, I just met my biological father last year. I knew that the father I grew up with wasn't, but I had never met this guy, and it turned out that my biological father is also in the program of Narcotics Anonymous in another state. And he's got 31 years now, but yeah, so that was like, whoa, okay, well, that makes sense, you know, so I've met him, and he's an asshole, but so am I, so anyways, yeah, I am an asshole, but yeah, anyway, that's a whole nother story that I'm not telling today, so back to my son, I started seeing like the depression was starting to get to him, and I was starting to see other things, you know, so I finally got him to go back to therapy, you know, because he had gone to therapy at like 12 and they misdiagnosed him, and he knew it. Like, we didn't know what was wrong with him, but he knew that whatever they said he was, he wasn't. And so he's like, I'm never going back again. And so I got him to go finally, you know, at 26, 25, 26. But then he would miss his appointments, and I was just getting to the point where I knew that I needed to like take off and take him to his appointments. And one day I got up and he was just agitated, and he just said, you know, I don't know what the fuck, and da da da, I'm just gonna step out in front of a train. And I was like, whoa, okay, dude, we have a problem. And so I called his shrink, and I ended up taking him to the doctor, got him back on his meds, and a month later he actually did. That was when the program of Narcotics Anonymous stepped up big time for me. My house, by the time we found out, before the end of that day, was full of addicts and even, you know, people from work, normies, I'm still, you know, one of the things that bothers me the most, and I just recently started taking some other steps for myself, is the suicide part is really getting to me. Because of that month prior, like, I had, like, what if I had done something different than I did? I thought that I did everything right that day, you know, one of the things was I knew I should have had him 5150'd, you know, and things like that. Like, I've had, you know, people commit suicide in my life before. I had a sponsee commit suicide when I had about 7 years clean. So it's not like I get that it's not my fault. Like, I do. Like, I can, what do you call that? I know, but I don't feel. I know, but I don't feel it, you know. I actually just found out, I read the police report, and he actually was laying down, so he was ready, he was done. And that's, like, I knew, my parents want to say, oh, he didn't, it was probably just a mistake. Yeah, no, I knew, because we used to make fun of people who got hit by trains, because how do you not hear a fucking train coming? They're like, oh, it was an accident, and we'd go, how do you not hear a train coming? Like, this is me and my son, and we'd have these conversations. So as soon as I heard he got killed by a train, I knew he did it on purpose. There was no question in my mind. And he didn't leave a note or anything like that. And, you know, I just think that the way that he passed was a way to let me know that, you know, he was good. This is the decision that he made, and he did it, you know. The blessing for me is that my son isn't suffering anymore because he didn't understand this world. He didn't understand, you know, like we had just had the election and he didn't understand how that could happen and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like he just didn't get it. He didn't understand people. And so I know, you know, that he's better off. But like, you know, today I was listening, you know, we're going to go see Bohemian Rhapsody tonight. And I'm like, you know, been singing Bohemian Rhapsody all day long, right? Since yesterday. And, you know, it got to a part that just, you know, to choke me up. And, you know, one thing that was my only child because I knew I was a shitty mother and I didn't need to have any more kids to be a shitty mother to. And so I'm never going to have grandkids. And that makes me sad sometimes. And then sometimes I'm okay because, you know, I have friends with grandkids and they're growing up and they're going to have grandkids, you know. And like, I have family in Narcotics Anonymous and I know that. It just makes me really sad sometimes. It just breaks my heart that, you know, that chapter has ended, you know. I miss my son. Like, he was one of those people that I could just talk to forever. And we, you know, we had the same interests. And him and Bob were, like, tight. You know what I mean? Like this hurt us all really bad. And then my sponsor gave me a pass on step work. And, you know, so, you know, you've heard me for the last 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, that, you know, I could work steps around shit, right? Well, you know, and here's what I know, is there's no step work that's going to ever make the death of my son better. There's no step work that's going to fix that. But there is step work that's going to fix the part where I've gained 20 pounds since he died, and the part where this shirt is very true, holy retail therapy Batman. Yeah, that's me. I wore it on purpose because, like, I can go shopping. I can do some serious shopping because, you know, it's just like if one pill works, 10 works better, right? If $50 at Amazon Prime works, 500 is better, you know? And that's kind of how I've, you know, it's that outside stuff, man, and I want to fix it. I want to fix that. You know, and it's like I told my sponsor, so when I called him to tell him, like, we're starting the step work again, he's like, are you sure? Are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, because I can't fix the fact that my son died, and I can't fix the fact of my husband's, the stuff he's got going on, but I can fix, like, the shopping, and I can fix the eating, and I can fix the things in here, you know. I the stuff I'm powerless over is I'm powerless over, but there's things that I'm not, you know, and that's me. You know, and that's trying to find those outside things to fix these insides. These insides that, you know, are broken and will never be the same again, you know. And I don't, you know, my mom is always trying, oh, you'll be okay one day. No, I won't. And I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? Like, don't try to fix me. Let me do what I gotta do. You know, so I went back to therapy and I went to not grief counseling, but suicide loss, I attend a suicide loss group. So it feels like NA, but for people who have lost their children to suicide, because that's what I felt like I needed, something very, very specific. The grieving process, because of who we are, I'm very familiar with the grieving process, unfortunately. I mean, we just had somebody die that, you know, from our area just recently, and it happens all the time, you know, and some of them have been super close to me. And you know, my son's death actually came on the heels of another death of somebody that I was very close to. And, you know, it was just... And then Prince died right before that, too. And that fucked me up, you know? So it's like, I'm familiar with the grief process. But I love Prince. Bob thought I was going to... We went shopping last night. Retail therapy. And... And then we saw there was a whole Prince display. He thought I was going to go crazy. I'm like, no, I'm good. I just like his music. I don't need to have Prince stuff. you know, so I guess, so the message that I have, what I know my message has been for the last year and a half, because this happened in 2017, and January 25th of 2017 is when my son took his life, and we found out the next day. And the message that I have today is no matter what. And that's the truth. You know, we all have that message, but just sometimes it's got to hit. And for me, I know what my no matter what is today. It's no matter what. Like, the worst thing has happened to me, in my opinion, today. My best friend had actually tried to commit suicide the year prior. Did not succeed, but she was in a coma for 3 weeks. I thought that was the worst thing that had happened to me. And up until that point, that was. And then this happened, you know. So I'm working the steps again. And like I said, we just picked up where we had left off this time. And so I'm on step 11. And so my sister took me. I'm going to wrap up with this. My sister took me. She goes, you need to go to yoga. And I used to make fun of yoga, okay? I used to be like, oh, you know, right? And all that, you know, goofy stuff. Because I'm like so not religious. So like anything that's like slightly, like I used to see like bumper stickers that said one day at a time. I'm like, Jesus freaks. You know what I mean? Like that's what my head thought one day at a time meant. So, you know, my head just like rejects anything with religion in it immediately, and it always has. And so, you know, in my head, you know, this yoga thing must be some kind of religion, right? And so I reject it immediately. Well, my sister finally talked me into it, and I'll tell you what. So we do these little stretches, and it's not like gym yoga. It's not like fast. It's like very quiet, very, you know, purposeful yoga. And for the first time, and this was August after he died last year, when we did the meditation part, was the first time that my head got quiet and I was able to relax, you know. So if meditation for me is, or for us, is letting God in, like God came in and gave me some peace for once in a time where there wasn't any. So if you're new, welcome. I'm not here to tell you, obviously, that this is going to be easy, or that it's going to be perfect, or that all good things are going to happen. But not all bad things are going to happen either. You know, fortunately for me, this death in my life, this end of my parts of my story, you know, I can still get up in the morning and I can still laugh and I can still joke about things and I still enjoy life for the most part. You know, I do have my struggles and I'm working through those. And that's part of the reason that I had to start the step work back up, is because I need to get back to life, because I do enjoy life, you know. And it's only because of you guys that I've been able to do that. So I'm going to wrap this thing up with that. If you're new, please keep coming back. And so will I. Thank you.
All right, guys. Hi, yes. One more time, guys.